ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Text 30. Nidhi dhyasor atma mayam hridayam nirvidyata Tato manas chandra iti sankalpa kama evacha nidhi dhyasor atma mayam hridayam nirvidyata tato manas chandra iti Sankalpa kama evacha Nidhi dhyasor atma mayam Hridayam nirvidyata Tato manas chandra iti Sankalpa kama evacha Please chant. Nidhi dhyasor atma mayam hridayam nirvidyata tato manas chandra iti sankalpa kama evacha Nidhi dhyasor atma mayam hridayam nirvidyata Tato manas chandra iti sankalpa kama evacha nidhi dhyasor atma maya Mantajis, please. Nidhi dhyasor atma mayam hridayam nirvidyata tato manas chandra iti sankalpa kama evacha Nidhi dhyasor atma mayam Hridayam nirvidyata tato manas chandra iti sankalpa kama evacha Synonyms, nidhi dhyaso, being desirous to know, atma mayam, own energy, hridayam, the location of the mind, nirvidyata, was manifested, tataha, thereafter, Manaha, the mind. Chandraha, the controlling deity of the mind. The moon. Iti, thus. Sankalpa, determination. Kamaha, desire. Eva, as much as. Cha also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. When there was a desire to think about the activities of his own energy, then the heart, the seat of the mind, the moon, determination, and all desire became manifested. Purport. The heart of every living entity is the seat of the Supersoul, Paramatma, and a plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without His presence, the living entity cannot get into the working energy according to His past deeds. The living entities who are conditioned in the material world are manifested in the creation in terms of respective inclinations inherent in them. And the requisite material body is offered to each and every one of them by the material energy under the direction of the Supersoul. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 9:10. When therefore the Supersoul is situated in the heart of the conditioned soul, the requisite mind is manifested in the conditioned soul, and he becomes conscious of his occupation, as one is conscious of his duty after waking up from slumber. Therefore, the material mind of the living entity develops when the Supersoul sits on his heart, after which the mind, the controlling deity, moon, and then the activities of the mind, namely thinking, feeling, and willing, all take place. The activities of the mind cannot begin without the manifestation of the heart, and the heart becomes manifested when the Lord wants to see the activities of the material creation. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anchakalpatrubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Ivacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namah. I seek the blessings of all my superiors. So, this is, we are hearing about the creation process, and we heard in last few verses how there are different parts of the body being manifested. So the first two topics in the Bhagavatam, out of the 10 subjects, are Sarga and Visarga. Now, Sarga is where, when the creation is happening on the level of Mahavishnu, and then Visarga is the further creation when the demigods come into the picture and they create on behalf of Mahavishnu, and the material cosmic manifestation comes up. Now here we are hearing how the heart is manifested, and then the heart, the mind is the seat of the heart, and then the moon is the deity for the mind, for the heart. And The last line in the purport is, the activities of the mind cannot begin without the manifestation of the heart. And the heart becomes manifested when the Lord wants to see the activities of the material creation. So, it's by the desire of the Lord everything is starting. It's the material nature, the Mahatattva, itself, it's inert in nature. It cannot do anything unless there is the touch of the Supreme Lord. So there is a further, this is like Sukadeva Goswami is just introducing the topics here. But if we go to Bhagavatam, third canto, there is talks between Vidura and Maitreya, and there Maitreya Muni is giving more details on these aspects of creation. So I was just reading some parts just to prepare something for this discussion, and so we can get a little bit more deeper insight on this. So there Maitreya Muni is describing how the demigods, they actually, even they get the powers to carry out their service to the Lord from the Lord himself. They cannot, they don't have their own powers to carry out these services. They also have to approach the Supreme Lord and beg for his mercy so that they can carry out their services. So this one verse, actually it's the last verse of fifth chapter in third canto, if someone is interested to find out more. Text 51, there the demigods, they are actually praying, O Supreme Self, please give us who are created in the beginning from the Mahatattva, the total cosmic energy, your kind directions on how we shall act. Kindly award us your perfect knowledge and potency so that we can render you service in different departments of subsequent creation. So that's what we are hearing here now. The demigods, we know even Lord Brahma, he performed like so many thousands of years of penance to get the powers to create the material world. So in this pastime also here, we hear how the demigods, they are begging for the power to carry out this service. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says here, the demigods are entrusted by the Lord to create different species of living entities according to their past deeds. They are herein asking the favor of the Lord for the intelligence and power to carry out their task. Similarly, any conditioned soul may also engage in the service of the Lord under the guidance of an expert spiritual master and thus gradually become freed from the entanglement of material existence. The spiritual master is manifested representative of the Lord, and anyone who puts himself under the guidance of a spiritual master and acts accordingly is said to be acting in terms of Buddha Yoga, which Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2. Vavsayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahu shakha I anantascha buddha yovya vasayinam. So, the devotees, they are able to be fixed in this service because they understand where they are getting their powers from. They are not bewildered to think themselves as independent, as supremely powerful themselves, like how many people think. And therefore, they are able to keep this humble mood and carry out their services in that way. And being pleased with that mood, the Lord empowers them to do even more and more. So when this understanding is there, this sambandha gyan is there, then a person naturally acts in a way they should be acting. But when this understanding of the sambandha gyan is not there, then person would be naturally bewildered and they would act in unwanted ways. And so it's very important to have proper understanding of these things, like reading these texts. It may not seem very attractive, very appealing. You know, there are so many intricate details here. Like, how many of us can actually remember all these things? I definitely cannot. So it's like a challenge for the mind to be studying all these parts of the Bhagavatam. Most devotees would just rather go to the pastimes that they necessarily like to read about. But to have a proper understanding of this sambandha gyan, we have to understand these aspects of the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, Sukadeva Goswami or even Vyasadeva would not have bothered to even mention them here if they were not important. So even like the first and second canto, we know they are like the lotus feet of the Lord. So we have to start at the feet and then we gradually progress to the more higher and higher levels. So here we are hearing about how by the desire of the Lord, when he wanted to see the activities of his energies. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the different energies. In the 7th chapter, Bhumir Apo Analo Vayu Kham Mano Buddhireva Cha. So there are like different material elements. And then in the next verse, he talks about the living entities, the aparayam itastvanyam. So Krishna is talking about these different energies. The living entities are material energies. Even the demigods, they have a bit more powers. They are invested with more powers to carry out these services. So the conditioned living beings, they can be organized, and the whole system of cosmic organization can run smoothly. In the Bhagavad Gita, so there are different types of worshippers. In the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 9, Krishna mentions Mahatmanas tu mam partha devim prakritir ashrita bhajanta anana manaso. So there are Mahatmas, those who are taking shelter of the devim prakriti, the divine energy. But then, and they are engaged in these services with determination. Like here, he mentions the mind, the moon, determination, and all desire became manifested. So the Mahatmas, they are engaged in services with determination. They are not distracted. But then, in text 15, Krishna mentions about other kinds of beings who worship God in different ways. I'll just read this. I don't remember this one. Yeah, this 9:15. Jnana yagena chapi anne yajanto mam upasate ekatvena prithaktvena bahudva vishvato mukham. Others who engage in sacrifice by cultivation of knowledge worship the Supreme Lord as the one without a second, as diverse in many and in the universal form. So here Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that there are other types of living entities. In the 7th chapter, Krishna mentions like the 4 types of Sukritina and Duskritinas. And then here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says But there are others who are still lower. And these are divided into three. So I'll read these three categories. He who worships himself as one with the Supreme Lord. He who concocts some form of the Supreme Lord and worships that. He who accepts the universal form, the Vishwarupa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worships that. Out of the above three, the lowest, those who worship themselves as the Supreme Lord, thinking themselves to be monist, are most predominant. We can see in our own experience these days, most people, that's how they understand God, or that's how they relate with God. But then we can also see there are people who just imagine their own form, or there are many people who consider different demigods as the Supreme Lord. And then there are the other category who worships the universal form. That's what we are discussing here, the Virat Purusha, Virat Rupa. And but in the purport, Srila Prabhupada here, he's mentioning that the monists are most predominant. Such people think themselves to be the Supreme Lord, and this mentality, they worship themselves. This is also a type of God worship. For they can understand that they are not the material body, but are actually spiritual soul. At least such a sense is prominent. Generally, the impersonalists worship the Supreme Lord in this way. The second class includes the worshippers of the demigods, those who by imagination consider any form to be the form of the Supreme Lord. Now, at another place, we know how the living entities, because they have material desires, and they want their material desires to be satisfied, so they approach different demigods, expecting their material desires to be fulfilled. But and many of them, they actually on purpose don't approach Krishna. Because many people know that Krishna is also known as Hari, who takes away the material desires. So knowing this, many people on purpose don't approach Krishna. It is pretty interesting. And then there is the people who don't accept any form. They just think God is just energy, and they worship different kinds of forms in the universe that they can see, they can relate to. And Prabhupada mentions, and the third class includes those who cannot conceive of anything beyond the manifestation of this material universe. They consider the universe to be the supreme organism or entity and worship that. The universe is also a form of the Lord. So it's very important for us to understand this Virat Purusha, Virat Rupa, because most people, that's what they relate with. And if we don't understand this, we cannot explain this properly, then it becomes difficult to relate with people outside. And especially we are trying to educate others on these subjects. So I myself am working on this. I'm especially focusing on the second canto, where the Virat Purusha is pretty nicely described. And but yeah, there are other places, like in the third canto, there is a bit more description. So we should try understand more, so we can explain this in more easier to understand ways for people, and even for our own self. But also, like, gradually, we don't want to just get stuck with this. Because then there is also from Sambandha, there is Abhideya and Prayojan. So we don't want to just understand these, we also want to gradually progress to the actual goal of understanding. And that's why Sukadeva Goswami progressively is discussing these topics. Atra, Sarga, Visarga, Cha, Sthanam, Poshanam, Uttaya. So from there, gradually, he takes us to the Samam Bonam, Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. Now, I was hearing some talks on the Damodar Ashtakam, and it was interesting to hear how one has to understand the first line of Damodar Ashtakam to get to understand the other parts of the song. Namamishwaram Sachid Anandarupam. So unless we understand Krishna as the Supreme Controller, we cannot understand Krishna as a person who is making loving exchanges with his devotees, how he is reciprocating with his devotees. We won't be able to appreciate those aspects, and we can see it very easily how many people, they cannot relate to the deity forms of the Lord. But you see, it's very ironical. The deity form is also made from different elements, but these people, they would appreciate different elements outside the temple. But when they come to the temple, they cannot appreciate the deity form of the Lord. What to talk about people in general, even the impersonalists who study the Vedas, they cannot appreciate the deity forms of the Lord. They cannot accept the actual form of the Lord as Sachidananda. Their illusion is that they think when the Lord comes into this world, he takes a material form. And even more ironical is they think that, you know, after liberation, they will become God. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ajopi san avyayatma, bhutanam ishvaropi san. So, ajo api, although he is unborn, but he takes birth. And how he comes? Atma Maya, by his own internal energy. So here we heard how the Lord, he wanted to see the activities of his own energy. So the appearance of Krishna in this world is also by the influence of his energies, but that's under the influence of his internal energy. So many people, they do not understand the actions of these internal energies, and they just get bewildered by, or they develop appreciation of the external energy, the different elements. So we have this opportunity, we have this understanding to take this understanding to people. Of course, like the demigods are praying to Krishna for strength, for knowledge, for potency to carry out this work of creation on his behalf. Same way, we are also every day singing, chanting, praying, and we are trying our best. But especially this month is more special because this month is an opportunity to increase our attraction, increase our desire to expand, grow our service, because there is more mercy available. That's what we are asking for. So, yeah, we can ourselves have this desire to put more effort in understanding these aspects of different energies, working of different energies, so that we can make it more relevant for people outside to be able to appreciate these things. Like, especially coming to the deity coming to the temple, personally, what I've been doing is when I meet some people who is a little bit interested, I ask them to come to the restaurant or come to the museum if they are a little bit more open. And most people, it's amazing when they come out of the museum, they have such a great appreciation, and they are very happy to chant a little bit. So I met this young couple the other day who came to the class, and they were speaking to me after the class. And I was like, why don't you check out the museum? They went to the museum, and they were so happy. And then they took like a whole lot of books. And the guy, he has like all kinds of tattoos. He has Buddha tattoo. He has Kali on his neck. He's like, I worship Kali. I was like, how did you find out about Kali, man? You need to know more about Kali. And so then I showed them the Bhagavatam, and I showed him how there is, you know, Shiva and Kali and all these demigods are there, and they are studying Bhagavatam. And this guy was like so amazed. So they, both of them, they were so happy and they were so appreciative. They took a whole lot of prasadam in the restaurant, spent pretty much half of their day here. And so we can find in our own services, we can find ways where people can relate to Krishna consciousness in certain way. And that way we can be a bit more relevant to people outside. And but the point to understand is that everything is happening by the touch of the Lord. And when we as devotees, we have to remember this also. But when we forget this, that's when is the opportunity for us to go on a bewilderment journey and be swayed by the waves. Just like, since we mentioned this pastime discussion of Vidura and Maitreya, Maitreya Muni, he wanted to see how the Lord creates and how the annihilation, all this happens. And I remember reading it long time ago, this pastime, but I remember very clearly how the Lord, he kind of asked Maitreya Muni, are you sure you want to see this? So the Lord is giving his opportunities. Are you sure you want this? So we are choosing. So the devotee, they choose Krishna all the time. So of course, it may not be possible to do that, but the whole practice of bhakti yoga is to cultivate that mood, to choose Krishna, to be choosing how we can increase pleasure of Krishna. And gradually, when Krishna sees this effort, then he will make it happen that we would be able to think of Krishna all the time, not just, you know, once in a day or once in a blue moon or something. But we can personally experience that. I'm sure like all of you here, most of you are more experienced in Krishna consciousness. And I'm sure you have many realizations like this. So we have a couple of minutes. If some of you want to share some of your realizations or insights, then please. Yes, Otto. Mic is coming.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice class. I was thinking about this point, how the, you know, because with the climate change, how people are beginning to think more about ecology. And ecology really is a recognition of the Virat Rup and respecting the sacredness of nature and the sacred of all living beings, the rivers, the skies, the seas, the oceans. And this movement is very... this movement we need to tap into and be, you know, like see them as allies and educate them to the higher levels beyond the the Virat Roop. But also I see, because I'm very much into ecology, that in our movement we tend to just skip over that and go directly to the Lord and think because we worship the personal form of the Lord and because we have the higher knowledge that all these things like, you know, ecological points are somehow irrelevant for us, and we use with great gaiety and copious amounts of plastic and all kinds of things that, you know, because we serve Krishna, we think it's okay. But the thing is that if we want to make allies of these people who are amongst the more educated and the more evolved of the humans on the planet at this time, we need to a little bit up our game here as well. I'm thinking, that's my personal opinion. And I'm hoping some other people think like that also, so that we can you know, tune in to this great opportunity, you know, with the climate change. Hare Krishna. Can you say anything about that a little bit more?
Thank you, Mata.
Yeah,
I personally know some devotees who are like already working with these different kind of people. Especially, I can share one experience. When I was in New Zealand, there were some devotees who would, you know, they have the student clubs in the universities. So there is this one devotee, he was starting like a vegetarian garden in the Brahmachari ashram. And what he would do is, he would get all these university students to come and help work in the garden. And then they would, it's not just, we can't just be taking service from people, we also have to serve them. We have to educate them why we are doing what we are doing. And then, you know, what he would do, the brahmacharis, they would cook like a big feast and feed all these students, and they would go like totally satisfied. And they would be very happy to come back. So here also I see like Narasimha Prabhu, he's doing some garden projects and he's trying to inspire different people. But, you know, he's doing what he can do. We also have to see our force, our manpower, and we have to consider all different aspects. We would love to have like a big farm and have the farm packed with happy families, you know, bringing like, you know, ahimsa milk for the deities, cook all these wonderful sweetmeats for Krishna, for Rukmini Dwarkadish. And we would love to have everything. But, you know, how things work in material world is, that's what here we are hearing. We also have to be realistic how things are operating. But of course, it's a very good point. It's a very important point, because it does attract lots of people. And that was the whole point of Srila Prabhupada starting farm communities. But we've also seen different reasons, the farm communities, we are not able to get enough people to help, and it becomes like a very difficult to carry out that project. So we also have to consider different aspects, and we have to be realistic about it. But it doesn't mean that we should not try. It's like we can remember, I will conclude with this, we can remember how Srila Prabhupada in his early days, he struggled so much, especially when he came to America. I think for first year he didn't really have any person coming to him. He was just, many times he would go back to this shipping office and he would ask them, hey, when is the next ship going back to India? After some time they started joking with him. That, Swami, you come here, you ask us when is the ship going back, and you never go back. What's going on? And Srila Prabhupada says, how can I go back? I come here to carry out the order of my guru, so I don't have the option to go back. So we are also in a similar position. We want to do so many things, but we are also limited in many ways, so we have to be realistic about that too. But it doesn't mean that it limits us, because we know Krishna is unlimitedly powerful. So that's where we have to turn. If we have a desire, I was just yesterday, interestingly, you mentioned this. I'll just share this one personal experience. Yesterday I was talking with Goda Chandra Prabhu on Sunday in the Prasadam line, and somehow this kind of topic came up. So I was mentioning to him how, like, the first house program I went to, I met this one devotee, and he was living at the temple farm in New Zealand, in Auckland, Radha Giridhari. And he told me that his desire is to live on the farm, milk the cows, make nice sweets, feed the deity, serve the deity in that way. And I was like so impressed. I was like, wow, look at this person. And I was reading Nectar of Devotion at that time. And I was remembering this pastime of the Brahmana, how he's meditating on offering sweet rice, and then his finger got burnt in his imagination, and he was like, wow. So bhakti yoga is very experiential, very powerful. People have experiences. So this devotee, when I was in Australia, I heard from someone that such and such devotee is coming to the farm. So they have nice farm, couple of hours from out of the busy city area in Sydney, New Gokul Farm. And they have a very nice project going on there. And they are attracting so many university students. It's amazing. And there is like such a wonderful service going on. So this devotee who I met at the first home program a few years ago, I heard that devotee is going there on the farm. And that couple, just one couple, they did so much service. They started like a restaurant come preaching program. So they got a place closer to a town near the university. They started serving lunch, just lunch. They got one good cook, one devotee who's a good cook. They would cook amazing prasadam, and they started with serving lunch, and then in the evening, like two or three times in a week, they would have kirtan programs, and they would share some Krishna philosophy. So they started getting like between 70 to 100 students from the university. And just seeing the students, all these local people, they started wondering, what's going on here? Because they would come to eat food, and then they were like, hey, what else happens here? I see this, I see that. But they had a very nice setting. You know, they had like how we have at Govinda's now. They had the serve-out area. And then they had like a whole area, like a lounge system. So I see my Guru Maharaj also, he does like that. Because if we want to attract young people, we have to create that kind of facility. They won't come and sit on floor like you, especially the Americans. You know, they want comfortable situation. Now you can sit, but I don't know when you started, when you were young. I don't know if you would just sit like this or something on a hard floor. People are used to comfortable living. So they had like nice cushions. It's like his wife, you know, like how the lady brings all the beautiful aspects in the house. So we can engage all kinds of different people. So his wife was very creative. They got all kind of colorful, different types of cushions. So people can just feel they are just relaxing in their home and their lounge. And they would hear whatever you want to say. They make friends with them. It's just one couple. They could attract so many people. So we can see that's what Prabhupada was doing. I heard my Guru Maharaj say these loft programs. Mukunda Goswami Maharaj, he told him that the loft program is not your idea. It's Srila Prabhupada's idea. He's the one who started this. That's what he was doing in the beginning. He would invite some people will come. And what he would do, he would cook. He would serve them whatever he could cook. And then I heard from my Guru Maharaj, he said he would go to every person And he would have small talk with them. How are you doing? How do you like the food? You know. So he's making personal connection. We can become more and more personal with people. If we just don't make personal connection, then people won't come back. Because they think, oh, I went there, everything looks nice, but no one spoke to me. So there's no one to relate to. What are they coming back for? You know, they would only come back so many times to eat, because there are unlimited number of options to eat. So we have to also start to make personal connection. And that's what these couple were doing. And then they started inviting some gurus who would, you know, make people like, even the people in the West, they're looking for, you know, really educated people who can inspire them. So they started inviting different gurus to share more. And it was going pretty good. But I heard later there were some complications, like who's going to be this manager, this and that. You know, that's the material reality. Then when things start to go, then someone wants to come and take over the scene. Oh, how come this person is doing so wonderful? You know, let me do this. Well, why can't you assist this person? So there are different aspects. We also see material reality even within devotee communities. But the point to understand is that when we have desire, this devotee had a desire. He was able to come to this farm. He started amazing project. It was working great. And they were getting good response. So it takes someone to do it. If you have this inspiration, you know, I wish you all the best. You could do it. We just have to have this strong desire. Prabhupada, he didn't get success, but he didn't go back. He stayed. So I see many of you stayed. There are many people probably who joined when you joined, but they are not here. So all glories to you. Just keep going. But of course, we do want to increase. So we have to find out ways. You know, like if you have some good idea, discuss with the management. But we also have to understand their position. We have to be realistic. We can't just throw the idea on them. You know, if I am presenting this idea, I would find, you know, some person or myself. Say, I would be there. I would do it if someone doesn't show up. Because for the management to invest in something big, and then the person leaves, so who's going to be responsible for that then? Who's going to take care of it? So we also should be realistic as devotees. We shouldn't just like blame the management or this or that. You know, everyone is devotee. Everyone is trying to do their best. And, yes, ma'am. Yes.
Devotees themselves, you know, take up the responsibility themselves, you know, especially things like, you know, plastic, that's an individual choice, and that each person can change that. That's not coming from management. That's coming from our understanding of how Krishna is in everything and how we have to, you know, work in a way that is in harmony with nature, and how that affects our preaching, because people come and they're educated these days in ecology, so they see if we do things that are actually going really against that.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I'm not saying a management thing. I'm just making a point, trying to encourage everyone that we all take up more responsibility in that, kind of like we grow up in a way, like let's do things really Krishna conscious from our self-motivation.
Yeah, I remember this Vaisheshika Prabhu says, ABS, always better service. So this is a great month to do that. Of course, just one point, you know, it depends on everyone's consciousness. Everyone is different. Everyone is individual. So one thing that could help is like educating others. That's what I was giving this example of this devotee. He started this garden project. Through that project, he educated all these students. So we can do so many things, but there has to be some person to be doing this. So someone has to take that responsibility. If someone has time, Like I give example of Narasimha Prabhu. He's doing it already. He started the garden project. He's kind of trying to do his best. But if someone wants to help him, please go help him. We already have like the different kind of recycle, this and that. Even in the restaurant we see, we get all these cups and plates. So there are some things happening. We should appreciate what's going on. And of course, let's try increase. So thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you.